We're continuing in Romans, and I'd like to look at the latter part of Romans chapter 12. First, starting with verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, you remember the beginning of the chapter starts with recognition of God's mercies towards us. And the reasonable response on our part is really a spiritual worship. It's to offer our bodies to the Lord for His service. And to honor Him in that way, doing His will and honoring Him. And what we have in this chapter and in the next is how our behavior should be affected by that. We give ourselves to God to be used of Him and what He wants us to do. What He wants us to say. How He wants us to conduct our lives and behave. Then we can be used of Him. And what we have in here is how we would be act towards our brothers and sisters in the assembly. How do we act towards those that are without, unbelievers. People that we deal with all the time at work or school or wherever that is. And then in the next chapter, he's going to, how do we respond with government? And the things that he says here are not what come natural. Before we were saved, we spent many years developing natural habits. And they're not good ones, many of them. The bents are not towards the Lord and towards His honor. So there's a growth period in our lives where the Lord wants to change the way we respond. And you know what? Nobody's going to ever ask you of why you're different or what's in you that's different in the world if you act just like the world. In some circles, there were people would say, in their witnessing, can say, well, trust in the Lord. You don't have to give up anything. You can live the same way. When the Lord comes in our life, it's His life there. And He acts differently than the rest. And the world will take notice by our behavior. And they'll come and ask us, what's the reason of the hope that is in you? Why do you respond like that when I wouldn't do that? And look at some of the things he says here. Starts out, believers should be appropriate for every situation. Weddings or funerals. You know, the older you get, the more time you get together with friends that you've known for years. Weddings or funerals, right? Where he says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. The things that the Lord's going to bring out here are characteristics of Christ. It's the family characteristics. You know, when you know people from a certain family, you notice that they do things in a certain way. They talk in a certain way. They walk in a certain way. There's certain family characteristics that are there. And here, what he's bringing out is, these are the family traits of believers. The name Christian came from unbelievers. They were first called Christians in Antioch because they always spoke of Christ. And even the word for Christ and the word for kindness. Kindness in Greek is Christos. Very similar to Christian. So that when they heard about things going on in Judea, one of the historians said, it was concerning something about Christos. Something about kind. The believers had a characteristic of being kind. So they kind of mixed up the things. They didn't understand that Christ was Messiah or the Jewish Messiah. So he called those Christians, they called them Christians because of the way they behaved. They knew when to rejoice. The Lord Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding. He could rejoice with them at a wedding. The last miracle was at a funeral. Even though he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he wept with those who wept. That perfect empathy that the Lord had. And for us as believers, we need to have that as well. Be able to rejoice with people that are rejoicing. Do we always do that? How about people that you might have a little competition with and you see them honored? And they're rejoicing. Do you rejoice with them? Are you glad that, yeah, they're being honored? Or are we like Saul? They only attributed to me thousands, the women as they were singing about the victories. But David, they attributed 10,000s. He couldn't rejoice with David. But David knew how to rejoice. Remember when he brought up the ark, danced before the Lord. And Michal, being a true daughter of Saul, she couldn't rejoice with the Lord. David, was it Steve Green's song, his praise, his feet was filled with his praise. He was dancing before the Lord because he rejoiced that the Lord was going to be moved to a place where he could honor the Lord and later on build a temple. That was in his heart. David had a heart for the Lord, and he rejoiced when the Lord was honored, when the Lord was glorified. And that's the same with us. Fellow believers, if one is honored, we should all rejoice with that person, that they're doing well, that there's something that God is being honored. And then some of those who weep. The feelings come out of a believer. I have to say, my wife is a passionate person. She knows how to dance with those who dance and weep with those who weep. I tend to be more staid and controlled if I can be. But she just lets her feelings be known. And we rejoice in that. You know, I love to see it. It's probably why I was attracted to her, because she was so different than me. But we should be able to feel like that with others, whether it's in good times or in bad times, to be able to just cry with them, not even saying anything. Weep when they're weeping because they're hurting. Believers do that. They do that with one another. They do that with others in the world. You know, you hear the world will say, somebody dies they didn't like, good riddance to him. Couldn't happen to a better man. You know, you hear all these kinds of negative things. And yet the Lord says that he doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. We realize that somebody who dies without Christ, where are they? Can't rejoice in that. Even because we were once like them. The reason we can act this way is because we remember the mercies of God. Wow, the Lord sought me. He hunted me down. That was the only reason I got saved. I was blind. We see so much blindness today. So much deceit. So much lies. And people following for it. Things that are just... You say, how could you believe that? How can you be so blind and to believe what they're telling you? And we were once that way too. We have to remember that. And we need to be able to pray for them. And they to see us respond in a kind way to those who mistreat us. Rejoice for when they're blessed. Weep for them in their sorrow. That's characteristic of family. That's a family trait. Be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Some have translated, be in harmony with one another. I remember at one of our get-togethers, I was playing something on the guitar. So I was holding my guitar while the choir was singing. And I had my fingers over the strings, lightly. And when the choir hit a certain note, the string started vibrating on its own. Because it was, they call it sympathetic resonance. The note was the same natural frequency of the string, and it vibrated it on its own. That's what harmony is with one another, where there's strings of our heart are pulled. We feel it, the same thing. We're in the same mind, thinking the same way with Christ as the center, with the Lord gathered, and we're gathered around Him. And we remember, you know, sometimes in the remembrance meeting, the Lord brings out a theme and how one will pick up it's really like a symphony, you know, you listen to a beautiful musical piece and how that tune, the same tune goes throughout, but then here it goes from the trumpets over to the string, over to all the different parts playing in perfect harmony in the same key. And there's no discordance. That's what it is with believers. We have the chief musician through the Holy Spirit conducting as we give praise for all that the Lord has done for us and as we remember Him. And not just at the remembrance meeting, but the oneness. Thinking the same thing. Not high-minded. You should be surprised at how many verses talk about what we think. Thinking lowly thought. Verse 3 of our chapter, he talks about not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And here, don't be high-minded. Isn't the source of strife many times, or things that really irritate you, because we take a superior position in our minds? What are you thinking of, you know, towards your brother? Is there anybody in the meeting that just tends to irritate you? Now, don't be pointing the finger down back there, Mitch. Maybe the Lord, when somebody in particular irritates us, maybe it's because the Lord's pointing out to us who we need to pray for, who we need to invest prayer more in. You know, when you've invested in somebody in prayer and really praying for their good and their growth in the Lord, it's hard to be down on them. It's hard to be negative towards them. We can get away from the mind, the high-mindedness, or, what does he say, wise in our own conceits. We think we know better. We're smarter. That person, they're always saying these dumb things, you know, or whatever thoughts come to our mind. And God tells us, He wants us to renew our minds, that our minds be more like the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2, the same thoughts are brought out. Taking the same mind, lowly mindedness. He says, because that's the example of Christ, who humbled Himself for us. Took the lowly position of a slave. We don't like the position of a slave. We would much rather be served. But it starts in the thinking, to think the way Christ thought. What really matters in life? What really matters for eternity will not be how much we've been served, but how much have we served for Him. And that's what the world looks at. Because the world is out there stepping on each other, trying to get ahead of everybody else, not serving, but wanting to be served. Wanting all the best for yourself. People giving up their whole family life, their whole family time, instead of raising their children themselves, they're workaholics to make more and more money. So what do? They throw the money at the kids. The kids have all this money to go off and get into all kind of trouble with, and their family life becomes a mess because their priorities are wrong. Their thinking is wrong. The Lord wants us to renew our minds, to think the way He thinks. Peter tells us the same thing in 1 Peter 5. To be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Are you proud? Are you easily offended? Do you easily play the victim? Or do you give people the benefit of the doubt? Do you take a superior position and you know better than somebody else? Do you ever know people that are cocksure of their opinion on everything they say? I've seen believers, I've seen it. They would take such a positive, sure, no way I'm wrong position, and then a couple years later, they reverse their position 180 degrees, and they sound just as cocksure about that as they were in their previous position. I mind it. You know, wise in their own conceits. Do you ever think, maybe I'm wrong? Maybe they're right. It's always good for us to question ourselves. Instead of saying, I'm 100% sure. Well, maybe I'm only 90% sure. Could be wrong. The Lord warns us. And again, this is not just towards one another as believers, but towards unbelievers as well. If we have a proud attitude towards them, superior towards unbelievers, towards anybody, they will react to it. Just as we react to somebody who's talking down to us. And the Lord says, follow me. I stoop down to wash dirty feet of the disciples. Just leave you an example. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide honest things in the sight of all men. This to me, at least for myself, is what I think one of the hardest things to do. Generally, I'm not an aggressive person in my personality. But if somebody attacks me, I don't stop and think. I attack back. And yet to thank the Lord, you know, when they attacked Him, when they accused Him, you ever been falsely accused? You ever watch Perry Mason? You know, and somebody's on the thing and they're lying, and blatantly lying. Person from the audience came up and said, "He's lying!" You know? Because they respond to false accusations. Everything within you want to just attack back. How dare you say that I said that and I never said that. And to give back what you get. You might feel better by doing it, but you won't win that person. They won't ask, why, what's different about you? Because that's the natural response. The Lord says when somebody smites you on the cheek, turn the other one. Let him hit you. He compels you to go a mile. Remember at that time, the Romans had the authority to pick somebody out of the crowd and make them do something, but only limited, say, to a mile to carry something. And the Jews hated it. But the Lord says, next time they do that, after the mile say, "You going further? I'll carry it another mile." They'll say, "What's the matter with you? What's different about you? Why would you do that?" That's when you'll be able to tell them about the Lord. Don't recompense evil for evil. When you're threatened, when you're accused, he remembers Isaiah 53 twice. He opened not his mouth. What strength that took, not to open your mouth. Doesn't take much strength to open your mouth when you're falsely accused, but to keep your mouth quiet. What strength in the Lord. What an example for us. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. It could be translated, take forethought of beautiful things in the sight of all men. To do beautiful things. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's where good works come in. Not for salvation, but after salvation. And when they see, there's two words for good used in the Greek. One is kalos, which is the word here, which means good in the sense of beautiful, attractive. And there's another one, agathos, which means morally good, as opposed to something that's bad. Both are we're called on to follow. But here it's things that even the world would say, wow, those believers, there's something attractive about them, about what they do, about how they act. The early believers, when they were under persecution, they would take care of each other. When the husband was thrown in jail for the faith, they would take care of the families. They really loved one another. And the unbelievers saw that. And that was a witness to them. And Paul saying, this is the way we need to act. This is the family traits for believers. Take forethought. You know, think ahead. Provide it. What good can you do to somebody that doesn't deserve it? That's the way the Lord treated us. We didn't deserve it, and yet He did it anyway. He won our hearts. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Some people will not live at peace with you, no matter how you try. But He says, don't let it be on your side. Don't let the lack of peace because you don't want to do it, because you're not making the effort. Live at peace with all. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Lord says. Whence come fighting and wars among you? James says. Isn't it because of your pleasures, your desires that war in your members? What causes fighting? What causes wars? Well, we both want the same thing. You're hindering what's mine. And the other person say, no, no, that's not yours, that's mine. No matter how small it is. Look, you know, when you're growing up, when you fight with your siblings, think about what you fight over. You know, somehow you stepped on my toes. You went in my turf. Somebody pulled in front of you while you were driving. That was my space. And some people get so angry at it, they'll pull up alongside you and shoot you. You know, there's no peace there. And there's no peace among the wicked. But the Lord comes in and He's the peace of with God. We make peace with God for our sins. But then the peace of God. We have that peace so we know what peace is. And He says, work that peace with others. Is there anybody, there's somebody that you know that you're on the outs with? You know that there's a break in with your neighbor, somebody at work, and you just avoid each other. You won't even talk to each other. The Lord challenges us here. He says, make peace. You know? Be the first one to say something kind. And that will break people down. You know, that will have its effect. God will use that. But it takes humility sometimes. Oh, he started it. I don't know. Why should I? He should humble himself, come to me and plead my forgiveness. It's not what the Lord says. We shouldn't be always willing to forgive, but we should also make every effort on our part to be at peace with one another. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Getting revenge. I don't forgive, I get even. That's what the world says. I'll get even. And you know, people might do some things, and you might put it in the back of your mind, and you remember, oh, let's see, they said that. I remember it was 2.5 years ago. And they criticized me for that certain thing. And now 2.5 years later, they did the same thing. It was the same situation. I'll get them back now. Now's my chance. We remember those things. You know, we have an unbalanced scale in our minds. When we do something, it's minimal. When somebody else does the same thing, we're outraged. David, remember David? And David, in many ways, was a good example for the Lord and for not seeking revenge against Saul. He left it up with the Lord. But there was a point in which David had sinned with Bathsheba and with Uriah. And he thought he got away with it. And God brought Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet told him that story about the man who had just one little sheep and the rich man who had all kind of flocks. And somebody came and that man took that one little sheep and killed it for the man who came. And yet he had all those flocks of his own that he wouldn't use. And David, before he heard any more, that man will surely die. You are the man. You're the man. David, you did it too. That's exactly what you did. He didn't realize it at the time. It was exactly what he did. And he repented of it. He was forgiven of it. But when somebody does things, sometimes you got to leave it just with the Lord. Don't hold it. Don't try to get revenge. The Lord says, that's my business. That's my business. It's not yours. It's yours to show my love. It's yours to show grace. When the Lord came here the first time, he came as a lamb. When he came, when he was on the cross, he didn't say, I'll get you. You don't know who you're dealing with here. You don't know what you're doing. I'm going to get you. You're going to stand before me. He didn't say anything. He just committed himself unto God who judges righteously. Sometimes in this life, things will not be made right. We might have to commit ourselves to the Lord who will judge righteously because he knows all. Leave it to the Lord. Do good and kindness, especially to those who don't, because that will break them down. It will be like heaping coals of fire on their head to bring shame to them that they've treated you badly. And repent, they'll repent. And he goes on to say, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the Christian characteristics. That's the family traits. Use good to overcome evil. This is not the way the world is. Love and humility. Wouldn't that change if everybody practiced love and humility? Wouldn't that change all of society, all of the world? But in a world that has turned away from God's word as they turn away from God, and everyone's pushing on their own way and encouraging people to go on their own way. The believers need to be lights because there's darkness all around. Your light has to shine. And it shines by your behavior, by our words. And others will take notice. And then that's where we have the opportunities then to point them to the Lord, because His light, He's the light of the world. Shall we pray? Lord, help us in these things. We know we fail, really, in dealing, Lord, in showing Your light and the glories of Yourself. And so often, Lord, we're seeking our own glory and to please ourselves. Help us, Lord, in all these ways to always be appropriate for every situation that we're in, that we might be lights in a dark world to glorify You. In Your name, amen.